learn how to build your faith on God's Word, and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the Senior Pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's Word to work for you.
Give Him a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please take your seat this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, we started a series at the beginning of this month talking about at all costs. It's actually a call for us to go back to evangelism, to bring us back to evangelism, or as it's also called, soul winning. It is a practice that is becoming forgotten in the kingdom these days. And I'm trusting God that in the course of this month, passion will be rekindled in our hearts to go back to winning souls. Are you here, somebody? Amazing. Glory to God. Today, many Christians' focus is on what they can get. And that is not what God wants. God has always had one burden in His heart. And that burden has always been to reconcile men back to Him. That burden has always been to save the lost. And until we line up with the burden in God's heart, we will never fulfill our usefulness here on the earth. So I'm going to run through this quickly. Why should we preach the gospel? Why should we preach the gospel? Number one, we should preach the gospel because people are perishing. People are actually going to hell every day. That hell is eternal damnation. They are not coming back. There's no second chance. We said it last Sunday. Everybody has an appointment with who? I can't hear you. Everybody has an appointment with who? Yes. Everybody has a fixed appointment with death. There's nothing you can do about it. People are perishing every day. That's why we need to preach the gospel. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It said, God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count what? Slackness. You know, from when we're young, they've been saying Jesus is coming soon. How many of you know that? And so now, there's even people make it as a joke. I say, Jesus is coming soon. Why hasn't He come all these years? They're answering you now. They're saying it's not because God is slack concerning Jesus coming soon. So the only reason why they're extending a bit, He said, it's not slack as a man has, but it's long-suffering to us, what? Not willing that what? Any should perish. The reason they are giving little extensions for more people to come in. Some of you here, you got born again in the past 1 year or in the past 2 years. If Jesus had come 5 years ago, you would go to hell. If somebody gets what I'm saying? The only reason they are extending is for more people to come into the thing. If He had come to some years ago, even me, I won't make it. I was among those that used to say, hell go sweet, oh. I used to joke the joke when I was an unbeliever. You know, because I was a smoker, India hemp smoker, and cigarette smoker. I say, hell, because you don't even need to look for lighter. Since everywhere they're born, you can also tell them, but you're on the cigarette from your own body where they're born. That's the kind of thing I used to say that time. Is somebody getting what I'm saying, sir? God is just extending the time for more people to come in so that He is not willing that anybody, God doesn't even want one person to go to hell. Or people are going to go to hell. Because we are not preaching. See, how shall they hear except somebody preaches? That's what the Bible says. Did you bring that up? You see, how shall they hear except there be a preacher? There are some people, the only way they will hear about Jesus is from your mouth. But you don't want to preach, you just want to beg God for things. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? A preacher.
Is somebody getting what I'm saying?
We need to preach because people are perishing. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was able to give the full cost of his son so that nobody will perish. That's the reason. That's the reason. So that nobody will perish. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish. Anyone you know that is not born again, if he dies, he's going to hell. R.I.P. is not a prayer. Oh. You know R.I.P.? May his soul rest in peace. It's a greeting. Oh. It's not a prayer. Oh. If he's not born again, he won't rest and he won't have peace. Forget who he is. Hey! This is the urgency I'm telling you about now. My uncle, R.I.P. If he wasn't born again, and he will regret it forever, knowing that you knew the truth and you never told him. You asked him for money. You asked him to stay in his place. You asked him for everything askable. But you never shared the gospel with him. R.I.P. is greeting. It's like, how are you? How are you? Am I generally trying to get over that's going on in your life? How are you? Is a greeting. Some people take it too seriously. Say, how are you? Say, my brother, make a territory. How are you? Has only one answer. What's the answer? Fine. Don't come and no, I don't want to hear the. How are you? Say, greeting. The answer is fine. Me that I'm asking you, Jesus, I don't have a problem. How are you? Is greeting. It's not that I'm looking for what's going on in your life. That's how R.I.P. is. R.I.P. is just a greeting. If the guy is going to hell, he won't rest and he won't have peace. Rest in peace for what? If he's not a Christian, he's going to hell. There's no rest there. There's no peace there. Even if it's your parents, if he's not born again, that's where they're going. So you should see the urgency of what I'm saying. It's not a joke. If you have any relative that's not born again, they are going to, if they die today, they are going to hell. Be clear about it. Don't claim ignorance here. It's not sentiment. I don't think, it's not what you think. Your thinking does no play in this. You know what I feel? I just feel God won't allow them to go to hell. That's what he's trying to do. He has already paid the full cost. He gave his only son. What do you want him to do again? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's like a big ship sinking and they bring lifeboat. Is it lifeboat? They call that small thing. They bring shadow smaller boat. Lifeboat, I think. Eh? Okay, just sounded funny. So, a big ship is sinking, they bring lifeboats, and we are the preachers telling people there is salvation. You don't have to sink with this boat, with this ship. Join this boat. That's it. God has done what he can do. He has brought lifeboat. He can't do more than that. This ship is already sinking. That's what preaching is. You are warning people that, no, don't perish with the ship. But some people, they are grooving on that ship. They think this life is all about here. They are grooving with this ship. It's sinking. So, imagine how wicked you would look. You knew this ship was sinking. You knew there was a lifeboat. Even you have entered. And you leave people behind there. That's how it is when you don't preach. We preach because people are perishing. If you are here and you have never led someone to Christ, then you need to repent today. If you're here in the past 1 year, you've not led somebody to Christ. You've not at least shared the gospel somehow with somebody. You're a wicked person. Some people are even so wicked they can marry an unbeliever. You're a Christian. You're a user. Wicked soul. You need to give your life to Christ again. Because for you to be comfortable to use an unbeliever and send him to hell after use. Because you know he's not born again. You know he's going to go to hell. But you just your marriage. In this life, is more important to you than anything. So you are ready to use him. In spite of the fact that you know he's not going to hell, heaven. You're a user. His eternal destination should be of more concern to you than his marital destination. Somebody getting what I'm saying, sir? We preach because people are perishing. That's why it's urgent. God said he doesn't want any to perish. He doesn't want what? Any to perish. What Christianity has become these days is so sad. So sad. So sad. I've never been so ashamed of Christianity as I am in these days. The bulk of Christians are just prayer beggars. Oh God, do. Oh God, do. We just have sinners that attend church. That's what we have. No change. No change in thinking. No change in lifestyle. God, do it. God, do it. You think God already, he has already answered. He said, all these things shall be added. He has already told you. You think he doesn't know you need car? Think he doesn't know you need the spouse and all this material? He knows. But he's telling you the way to get it. He says, focus first. On what? I can't hear you. Focus first on what? Get on God. And what? Focus first. He said, what will happen when you do that? He said, I'm interested in these things too. But the way to get it is by focusing on the kingdom. But we will like suffer. We want to focus on the things. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. God has a burden in his heart. The best way, let me use Pastor Marcus' example. Pastor Marcus, stand. You have two children. Let's imagine Isaac is sick now. He's not sick in Jesus' name. He'll be fine. But let's assume Isaac is very sick. You know, you'll be troubled. I'll be as a mother. It will be a burden in your heart. Now, imagine that you have a friend. Let's use Ogo. She's calling you every minute or every day to ask you for something. You are facing this challenge of Isaac being seriously sick. And this one is calling you every day. He's not even asking you, how is Isaac? He's not asking you what's going on. What's it? But he just, hey, give me credit. Give me something. After a while, will you be picking that call? Now, picture on that scenario. Ogo, stand up now. I'm teaching you something because I know you want to pray and shout at God every day. This is the faster way I'm going to show you now. Now, her burden, Isaac is sick. She has a burden. And you come to her and say, you know what? God, Amaka, I know your child is sick. Is there any way I can be of service to you? I know you go to work. You might not be able to take Isaac to the hospital all the time. Can I take him to the hospital once in a while for you? And Ogo now says, I don't have a car. I can be taking him with bike or keke, but if I have a car, it will make my taking him to the hospital for you very easy. If Amaka can buy a car, what will she do? She will even give her car and she will enter bike. God has a burden in his heart. His burden are his children. They are going to hell every second. The best way to get anything is to take on God's burden. I'm going to talk a bit about this next week. Everything God gives you. Everything God gives you is not for you. Every single thing. There's always a bigger picture. If you can take on God's burden, all his resources will be available to you. Somebody get what I'm saying? You can sit down. Bola, you work in a company. Do they give you, is your part of your benefit, is it car? Is there a car in your, they didn't give you a car? Which kind of company is that? What is that? They give you car allowance. It's car now. It's the same thing. Okay, so in other words, basically, they gave you car allowance, but means you can convert it to money. If you want to buy a car, you can buy a car. So they took care of your transport, basically. Please stand. So, he works in a place. Did you have to convince them on the importance of car? Catch it, though. When they were employing you, did you convince them that, look, me getting to this work, did you convince them? It was, the car allowance was part of the what? Package. Do you think it's because the company just loves him? No. The company just saw him. Ah, this is my job person. Do you need a car? Is that what happened? He took on the vision and mission of the company. They took on his comfort. He didn't beg them. Or did you beg for that car allowance? He didn't beg them. The moment he said, I'm going to work for you, the burden you have as a company, I'm going to take it on. They say, we too will take on anything that will make you be able to take on. So it's not love. That relationship is not love. I think somebody's getting what I'm saying. Now please sit down. How long would it take him if he doesn't work in that company and he goes there every day and is convincing them of the importance of giving him a car? Which year would they give him a car? But this is what Christians want to do. This is what Christians want to do. Every day, God, do it. This is what Christians want to do. Healing is the children's bread. If you can focus on what's on God's heart, you will make sure you don't have time to even focus on. The reason why when you are an executive in Lagos here, they bring you on the island nearer the office is not love. They bring you near the office so that when you work late, you can get home late easily. Because you're going to be working late now as a new executive. So you give your staff car, give you a driver, so that while you are even in commute, you can answer emails and work. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Anything to make you comfortable, to produce more. That's it. Your prayer point will reduce the day you take on God's body. Prayer point, you know, God will say, I need to make this guy's life work. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We preach because people are perishing. Number two, we preach because we are commanded to. Say, go into all the world and preach this gospel. Go into all the world. He commanded us to go. He commanded us to what? Go. Tell somebody about Jesus. Number three, we are commissioned to go. 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 18. We are commissioned to go. He said, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to what? Himself by Jesus Christ. And has done what? I can't hear you. He has done what? It's still not loud enough. And has done what? So in case you are here, you don't know, you are in ministry. A ministry has been given to you. And it will be required of your hand when you get to heaven. A ministry has been what? Given to you. You think it's only pastor that has ministry? No, you have ministry. But you see, you are so distracted with your personal things. So you've forgotten God's own. A ministry is committed to you. The ministry of reconciliation. Every Christian is called into the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing men back to God. Every child of God is called into it. Not just the pastor. So, everybody has a pulpit. Your pulpit is where you pull people out of the pit. So every Christian has a pulpit. This one here, this stage is my own pulpit. Your own will be in your office. That's where your pulpit is. If you're a business person, that industry is your pulpit. If you're in entertainment, that space is your pulpit. Everybody has a pulpit where they're pulling men from the pit. So if you think you need a microphone and a suit to do a ministry, you're joking. Every child of God is called to ministry. Are you here, somebody? We preach because we are commissioned to. Number four, we preach because it makes heaven glad. The Bible says heaven rejoices over one soul that comes to Christ. The whole heaven rejoices over what? One soul. Can you picture that, guys? That heaven, the whole heaven, all the angels, all the cherubims, all those beings, everybody there, Jesus, even God, they are all rejoicing for everyone's soul. Those of you that are still unbelievers or that still go to nightclub, when somebody pops champagne, you know what happens? You know what happens now? Those of you that still go now. You know what happens, Abby? They will put those light things that pop light and not play siren. Woo, woo, woo! Because Mr. So-and-so is popping champagne. That's how heaven rejoices when you pop a soul. That's how it works. Every time you bring one soul to salvation, heaven too blows siren. They rejoice. I mean, imagine you shaking heaven. Some of you, when last did you shake heaven? When last did heaven rejoice because you brought somebody to Christ? The only time they hear your voice, it's true. Husband, wife, children. If you go, God will make sure all the things you need are provided. When he told the disciples, sent disciples to go and preach, when they came back, he said, when I sent you out to preach, did you lack anything? DJ, can you bring that scripture for me? when he sent the disciples out, say, when I sent you out to preach, did you lack anything? They said nothing. They didn't lack anything. If you go the way he said to go, he will make sure everything you need to go is provided. Look at it here. And he said to them, when I sent you out without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said what? Nothing. He didn't give them anything. He just said go. But in their going, the resources were showing up. Don't waste time praying for a car. Pray for souls. The day you need to a car to take the souls to church, it's a very easy conversation. The Lord, I have three converts. How do I take them to church, Lord? On a bike. Somebody get what I'm saying? If you go, you say, I need, Lord, after I go, when I come back, I need a spouse to massage my back from the going. A wife or husband is provided. You need it now. Are you here, somebody? Focus on his assignment. When you focus on his body, you become priority in his heart. Very simple. Instead, most Christians waste their energy gossiping, talking, fighting, because they are not focused on the mission. Go, because heaven rejoices. Then last one, why do we preach? Because we are rewarded. For everyone that preaches, said those that win souls are wise, and said those that turn many to righteousness shall glow as the stars of heaven forever and ever. Look at it here. He said, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as what? Stars! Most women here want to glow on the earth. They have beauty regimen to glow. But to glow in heaven, so winning. No cream can make you glow in heaven. I know they've mixed cream for you here so that you can glow. Your skin can glow. Please, as you are glowing here, make plans to glow in heaven. He said, some people will be like stars. Do you understand? And I believe that the more souls you win, the more, the brighter you shine. So some people will just be like glistering white crystal. They'll be shining. Some will just look like people wearing native brown sand looking native. Because no shining, not one soul came to Christ. All you were here were begging for things. You don't, heaven doesn't rejoice when you buy a car. Heaven rejoices when one soul comes to God. Heaven doesn't rejoice when you get married. It's none of their business. Spiritual beings don't celebrate physical achievements. It doesn't concern them. But when you win somebody to Christ, it makes sense. Somebody getting what I'm saying? How should we go about winning the lost? Today we're going to deal with praying for the lost. Prayer is the first foundation. If you are going to win people from being sinners to being Christians, prayer is the first foundation. And this is what prayer was designed for. Not what we're using it for today in this day and age of begging, begging, begging. I'm tired of these things. Every day you have something to ask God, really? Even you are you not bored, you, the asker? If you, the asker, are bored, what of the askee? Same thing, just different theme, but same begging. Every day. Something to come and school me how that is done. I don't get it. That's not the design of prayer. These are the things you should be using your prayer time to do. Interceding for the lost. When we got saved, that was how we knew prayer. Prayer was not about begging for things. Prayer was about praying for the lost to be saved. That is how I got saved. It was by prayer. In a few minutes, I'm going to show you my elder brother's video. He did a video for me. Was sharing his story. He's a major general today. But many years ago, he's the one that prayed for me to get saved. He's the first person that got saved. Oh man, that's the beauty of evangelism. His friend got him saved. He too was a bad guy. I'm your young army officer. His friend got him. I will leave him to when he comes for the men's conference. He will share his own story. He was a very bad guy. Very, 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 very bad. I don't want to mention some of the things that he used to do because he's still in service. So we can, when he retires, we can mention him. He's still in Nigerian army, so we don't want to mention. But he was a bad guy. So his friend now got him saved. And the moment he got saved, the first thing he focused on was praying for the rest of us, his family members, to be saved. That's how Christianity used to be. But today, when people get saved, they just come in and start begging God for things. Even though all their family members are going to hell, they don't care. God, give me, give me, give me. Have you seen anybody depressed over other people? Most of your depression is caused because you are too focused on yourself. One of the keys to unhappiness is focusing on yourself. When they say it's more blessed to give than to receive, part of that meaning of the word blessed, to be happy. You are happier when you give, when you focus on others, than when you focus on yourself. Your depression is linked to self. Check it. I'm not happy. See my life. It's for one, stop looking at yourself. He got saved and started to pray for me. I was the kind of sinner that you can't preach to. And I will discuss this next week. Preaching the gospel is not really about your grammar. It's not about your English. It's the Spirit of God that we save. You only need to present. Forget about whether you presented it right or not. Oh, I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I'll share this next week. Because the person, I don't even know what to say. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. In fact, go and tell the person, I don't know what to say. That's it. It has started. I'm telling you. It's not the English. It's not the right words. It's the Spirit. But it needs a vessel. Are you here, somebody? So I wasn't the kind of person you can come and preach to. Ah, I was a bad guy. Smoking Indian hemp from primary school, from secondary school. Carrying a pistol from secondary school. Prostitutes. Brothels. I was telling them on the mainland church, the kind of friends I had. These are secondary school boys, not university. Secondary school, you know that we're in our early teens. As in, I had friends that would take us to brothels. Brothels where prostitutes stay. He would take us to brothels and say, go to any room and mention my name. You don't understand. Somebody would take 5-6 boys from school. Not that we're from school. We would jump fence. We were not even seniors. From school, jump fence with our short knicker. The guy would take 6-7 of us to a brothel and say, Flo, just go to all the rooms, mention my name. And true to his, he didn't give us written notes. There was no mobile phone then to confirm. We just went and mentioned his name. That's how well known and respected a secondary school boy was in a full brothel. This is not a 10-room brothel. I'm talking about brothel that is in floors. So I'm telling you where I was coming. I was carrying pistol from those days, smoking hemp. So you can't come and tell me Jesus Christ is something, something. But my brother did the right thing. He started to pray. DJ, are you ready with the video? Dim the light so that they can watch that, then I'll continue. Hurry. Did you try it before the time?
My life to Christ in the 90s. And one of my desires then was to ensure that my immediate family members got born again, as well as my close friends. Of course, Pastor Kingsley, being one of my brothers, was one of my targets, and I began to pray for them. Fortunately, around 1995, my parents sent Pastor Kingsley down to Makurdi, where I served then in the barracks, and they were not too happy with his lifestyle, so they sent him over to Makurdi to stay with me, apparently to, you know, dispense some military discipline and force him to change. Knowing what I know that no man, or any person for that matter, can be truly transformed without the help of the Holy Ghost. One striking incident that happened when he came was that just a few days after he arrived in Makurdi, we caught him taking India hemp with some soldiers who were already taking India hemp. You know, these guys know how to connect. They never knew themselves from Adam, but before you know it, Kingsley was all with them. And so we were so angry. If I remember, I took him to the guardroom to be detained, and after we brought him back, and I knew that we had a lot of work to do. Of course, not by power, not by mind, but by Spirit of God. So we engaged in prayers. I had an officer colleague, a very close friend. I wouldn't want to mention his name, you know. And some young men in the barracks that were born again. We prayed intensely day and night. We targeted issues concerning his life, you know. And we didn't talk to him much. We didn't force him to be saved. And over a period of time, not more than 2-3 weeks, he encountered Christ and he gave his life to Christ.
All right, so that was a very summarized version, but like he was saying, those days when people got saved, their main concern was to get their family members saved. Not like today, where most of what we call a prayer revival is people gathering every day to beg their father, their wicked father, to have mercy on them. In those days, when you got born again, you were more focused on getting others saved because you knew that if those people died, they were going to hell. It would be unfair for you to have any family members and they go to hell in your watch. It would be unfair. And while you were busy begging God for material things. So those days, you, like he said, I was a very bad guy. Yeah, I landed where he was in Makode. I don't want to be teaching you Baba things, but because that's not what I'm here to do. I had found everything, what was going on. I had hooked up with all the people I needed to hook up with in town. Quickly, it doesn't take more than 1 week to know where everything is happening. And he knew, like he said, I wasn't capable to come and preach English to. No, my badness is I'm committed one, not that type that you can just come persuade. So he knew prayer was the key. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. When it comes to soul winning, prayer is the first foundation. That's what prayer was really meant for. Not this begging we do. Prayer is powerful for intercession. So those days, that's how we got saved. We prayed for the lost. So they prayed for me. I didn't even know how many they were until when I got saved. So bad guy, I went to visit, they sent me to him in Makode because he's a soldier. The first thing he can discipline me because I was a very bad guy. So, I don't want to give you bad stories. So, I was following him to church. And just like every other unbeliever, when I go to church, I was scoping the fine girls. Scoping all the girls. Oh, choir, fine girls. Oh, usher, fine girls. Some of you, that's how you even came today. And when we do altar call to you, will get born again. Mm-hmm. You will get saved. Maybe it's even boy you followed. You're a girl, you followed boy. You followed man. You will find the man of Galilee. His name is Jesus Christ. Say, if you drink this water, you will not thirst again. Follow man. So I was scoping girls, having fun in church, playing, not laughing at the jokes of the preacher without getting the message. So one day, and this is the power of prayer. Like I said, I'm going to share this more next week. You don't have to even know what to say. Once is the Holy Spirit that saves, and it can use anything. It can use anything. So, when prayer has gone forth, the manifestation can come anyhow. So, when the church like this, so then in that same church, they announced all men wait behind because we have men's program coming up. So, all the men waited behind. They said, okay, men, everybody must participate in this convention coming up. Who are those that want to join prayer chain? Me, I was never born again. So how can I join prayer chain? I dodge. And Makode prayer is not Lagos prayer. Lagos prayer, everything is fast. Because we're in a hurry. Makode, they have time. In Makode, boss wants to pick you. If you stop call boss from your house, not from street, as in this express now, you can be living here. You call boss. The boss will stop in front of that place and reverse into your driveway out of the express road to pick you. That's how Makode was. Pick you. They wait for you to even go to the kitchen, go and bring your water, bring everything. Enter the bus. If the bus can enter your parlor, it will enter. They will pick you, JJ. In Lagos, both entering and coming down is in motion. They are not waiting for you. So, Makode, they have time. So, when they say they are praying, Makode, it's not 30 minutes. When they are praying, Makode, 2 hours is the warm-up to now start. After 2 hours, say, hey, brethren, let's start. Is it, 2 hours, they are just warming up. They have time. So I said, I can never join prayer chain. Never. I escaped that one. They mentioned some other things. Most of them were spiritual things that you need to be born again to do. So I was avoiding it. They now mentioned one. They said, if you can do rally, you know rally, the one that you follow boss and be making noise and share. I said, that one, you don't need to be born again to do that. So when I said rally, I don't raise my hand. The enthusiasm I used to raise my hand. They didn't know I was running from something. They thought I was running to God. No. I was trying to escape any other spiritual work. I said, this one, I can do that one. I raised my hand very enthusiastically. The way I raised my hand, they assumed that it meant I was now born again and I love God. So after the meeting, they were all coming to congratulate me. Ah, congratulations, you're finally born again. I said, excuse me. They didn't even wait. They continued telling other people that, he's finally has given life. And they were, that's how they kept, and these are army officers. You couldn't tell them. They said, we are. That's when I knew that many of them were in part of the prayer. That's when I knew. Because the way of them came, because that means they were waiting That's what Christianity used to be those days. That's what Christianity used to be those days. People knew who you were trusting for to be saved. So when you say, oh, that my cousin who prayed for, he's finally saved, everybody will rejoice. Today, all we are talking is shoe, bread, nonsense. This is what we gather to do every day, beg. We have a board out there. Everybody should go and write. You have the board, I mean here. Everybody should go and write names of people you are trusting God to be saved. We're going to pray over them all throughout this month. And you will see those people coming to the Lord. They can be your family members, your friends, your colleagues. It's unfair for any family members to go to hell. This is my brother. He's the first one that got saved. Now all of us are saved because of him. And DCC is here because of that guy's prayer and his team their prayer. That's why DCC is here. All of you would not be here if not for that guy. You might be a Christian, I don't know, but he wouldn't be here. Because this here is existing because I'm here. And because he prayed me here. So I need to understand how the impact of one soul that comes to the Lord, how far it will go. This is why God will reward you. Imagine the reward he's going to get. Because every soul I win, there's still some, it's like network marketing. This is the best network marketing you can do. Because every soul I win, they will still accrue to him. Because he's the one that prayed. These are the people you are going to go to heaven with. See, what did you bring? They gave me a watch. I got engagement ring. I got shoe. These are the things you are going to share as your own testimony. Things that should be added. Are you here, somebody? Prayer! That's how prayer should be used. If you still have loved ones that are not saved, RIP is not prayer. You can't pray for somebody that is already dead. All those things is religion and joke. It's not real. Somebody's dead, they are praying for him. May his soul rest in peace. We pray for the... We are just faking it. If the guy is dead, if he didn't accept Christ before he died, he's in hell. There's no... Immediately, there's no middle. There's no lounge. There's no waiting lounge. God is not in the Bible. Says that... We read it last week now. It's appointed somebody to die once. After that, what happens? Straight. They judge his case. Chap, where are you going? Hell, heaven, no lounge. So wait, they're going to call me soon. No! And people die every day. So you need to understand the urgency. People die what? Every day. No soul is cheap. Your driver, your security, they're all souls. No soul is cheaper than the other. MD of a bank is not more expensive soul than security man. They're all soul. And the same cost was paid for them. And God would have paid all costs for any of them. They are all God's children. That's God's body. So how do we pray for the lost in 2 or 3 minutes before we stand up and actually pray? But don't forget, when we close, go and write the names of people you are trusting God to be saved. Let your prayer point change from now. Don't go to any, we are begging God for things. Forget it. Focus on God's body. He will finance anything you need to make sure that thing is working. How do you pray for the lost? Number one, you don't pray. Don't pray for God to save them because God has already saved them. Don't say, oh God, come and save them. Yeah, save them. Like I mentioned, the boat. God has already brought the lifeboat. But you're saying, oh God, rescue them. He has already brought rescue. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't pray for a burden for souls. No, he has already told you to go. Whether you feel like it or not, go. Praying for burden means you want to be ceremonious about it. Somebody says you go and do it. You say, yeah, burden. Burden call. Burden. Go out. Say, go ye. Go ye. It's an instruction. It doesn't need burden. Are you here, somebody? So how do I pray? Number one, pray that God should send laborers. That's what Jesus told the disciples. He said, pray. Say, the harvest is ripe. Say, ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers because laborers are few. All the laborers are begging in prayer. So pray. Let the laborers go. So what you do, if you have somebody you are praying for to be saved, let's imagine I'm praying for a devil to be saved. So I begin to pray, say, Lord, send somebody to preach to a devil. Send somebody to send the message to a devil. So you start praying for laborers. That's the first thing you just said to do. Say, pray that God sends laborers. Specifically to that person. Because sometimes your siblings might not listen to you. You people are already too close. They know you from when you were young. You don't believe anything. They're never too sure your salvation is real. So you might not be the best person to preach to them, but you can pray that the laborer be sent, somebody that they can listen to. It might be in a church. Somebody might invite them to a church. They can go for a program. Their colleague can preach to them. An old classmate can preach to them. One fine girl they are chasing can drag them. I'm going to teach you that next week. You're going to check everything God has given you and use it to God's glory. If you're a fine girl, stop using it for yourself. Use it for God's glory. You know how many souls you can win with your fineness? Do you think your fineness was for you? Just be snapping pictures every day on Instagram. Just oppressive. You think that what they gave you fineness for? Hey, fine girl, boy, I say, fine girl, how are you? You say, fine boy, are they? You just know how to do this. So I would like to know you. Tell him, I would like to know you too. Say, let's hook up now. Say, straight up. Let's meet Sunday, 9 a.m. beside Meadow Hall. Come well dressed. Let's hook up. At that stage, he's not thinking, he'll do anything he says to do. But most girls are trying to use their fineness for themselves. I'll do that next week. Anything you take from God and want to use it for yourself, it becomes cost in your hand. You need to know that. And it ends up destroying you. You end up abusing it. Anything you use for yourself, everything God gives you, use it for Him. That's how to get the benefit from it. Anything, your interest, your passion, your dress sense. Are you here, somebody? We'll talk about that next week. So, pray that God sends laborers, because sometimes that person might not want to listen to you. So you might need to bring him to church, whatever, whatever, but somebody will speak that he will hear. Number two, how to pray. Break Satan's hold over him. So if you have somebody you're praying for, the only reason why people don't receive salvation is that Satan is blinding them. Nobody in their normal senses will reject salvation. Nobody in their normal senses. Are you here, somebody? Nobody in their what? Normal senses will refuse salvation. The deal is too good. The deal is what? Too good. The only way they might not receive it is if they don't see it. So 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has what? Blinded their mind. So I need some guys to come and act out. Energy, come. And they will come. Come. Yes, come. So watch, guys. The guy in green, stay in the middle. Edewo, still like this. Energy, still like this. Guy, don't be too far from each other. You're going to be walking close together. So watch, guys. They said, in whom the God of this... See that small letter G. Satan is the God of this world. He has blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the gospel should what? Shine. So this is what happens. Satan is the God of this world. And in case you don't know, you too, you are a God in this world. All small letter G. There is the Almighty God, but the Almighty God has handed this earth unto us. Do we understand this? He has handed it to us. That's why he said, I'll make man in my image after my likeness, so that he will do what? So that he can do what? Ah, you don't know Bible, oh. So that he can do what? Have dominion over everything going on here. Satan joined that thing through Adam. So Satan now became the God of this world. Even though we are still the legal guys here. We are the ones that can invite God by prayer. That's what our prayer is for. Our prayer is to invite. We are the ones that can give God the legal rights to do certain things here. We invite him by prayer. That's what prayer is. Because other people say, oh, why does a good God do bad things? He has handed his men that are running here. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That's why God is not the one causing anybody harm. It's men. Anybody, any bad thing happening to you, it's a human being that's doing it. Nigeria problem, is it God that's doing it? We know, we even know the people. We just are afraid to call their name. We know them now. Abi, am I correct? We know the people. And they are, next election, haven't you known the people now? They've already decided who they want to run. Am I correct or not? So we know people causing problems. It's not God. He has handed it over to men. And now if we Christians leave it for unbelievers, they will run it their way. If we leave for Satan, Satan will do his own. That is what prayer is for. But you see, we have become so focused on material things. We are living our Godship. The things you are fasting and praying for, those unbelievers that are running this world, they buy it easily because they're in control. And if you get what I'm saying, the guys running this world, they can't share testimony of G-Wagon. They can have 10. One signature. 10 of G-Wagon will come out. But you have to go and fight and pray because you don't want to take your place. So, this is the God of this world, Satan. the unbeliever you want to be saved. This is the God of this world, Christian. He's also a God here. He said he has made you kings and priests. so that you can reign on the earth. So you are like a god, small letter G god, but you are a ruler here too. That's what they're saying. You and Satan are rulers here. So Satan, cover his mind, cover his eyes. So what Satan does, this is salvation. What's your name? The guy in green, what's your name? Amos. Close his eyes, well. Cover his eyes, don't worry. Amos, take. Do you see, he can't even receive it. You know why he can't receive it? He can't see it. So no matter how nice I make it look, say, Amos, this thing I'm giving you is nice, oh, take it. I'm saying, see, he's here, take it. He can't take it, he can't see. And why can't he see? Why can't he see? The God of this world has done what? Blinded his eyes. What is the Christian supposed to do? He too is a God here, apart from begging every day for God to bless him. He's a God here. He has a right to challenge his God. He's the one that has been put here to challenge this one. He said, resist the devil and he will flee. So you can bind him on the earth and he'll be bound. Stand steadfast against him. You are a higher ranking officer than him. So what this guy needs to do in prayer for his brother here to be saved. I must put your hand down, my brother. Amos, put your hand down. What this guy needs to do for his brother Amos that is not saved, that is going to hell, is to go and do what? Remove the blind. He has a right to go and remove that blind of Satan. Once he removes the blind of Satan, the moment the gospel, remember we have prayed for laborers. Somebody's going to come with that gospel. I say, Amos, do you have this? Do you want this? Do you need this? You need this. Take. Amos can now, I'm using it. Don't take it for you. So Amos can now take it. Do you get it, guys? So as a Christian, thank you guys, you can go to your seat. So as a Christian, part of your prayers for your loved ones that are not saved, hallelujah, is that let the blind, whatever is blocking their minds, be removed. This is more urgent than that your prayer need you have. Trust me. What you need is important, but this is a faster way to get it. When what burdens God burdens you. All our crying is for material things. Things that are already ours. All things are yours. Are you getting what I'm saying? Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be for Mr. Bolenwa or the pastor to go to your company every day and be begging them for a car? I need a car. People don't know why it's difficult to come from my area. Imagine how embarrassing that would be. Are you here, somebody? Imagine today you are high ranking or high in very effective staff in your office. Very effective. And you tell your boss that, if I'm staying nearer, I can stay, and that thing we've not been able to do, I can figure it out. No God that has sense. You are delivering. You will stay nearer immediately. But instead, I want to stay nearer. Why? I just want to stay. All my friends are here. How does that concern me? Number three. So number one, pray for laborers. Number two, pray for the eyes to be able. Number three, pray for the Spirit of God to convict them and to draw them. Jesus Christ said, nobody can come to the Father except he draws him. That's why I told you that I will explain that next week. It's not your English that draws people. It's not your explanation that draws people. It's the Holy Spirit. And he can use any medium. He can use any medium. He can draw you. So you pray like that. He said, no one comes to the Father except he draws them. He said, the Holy Ghost will convict the world of sin. So you can pray that conviction of the Holy Spirit, that drawing of the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit draws them, any small thing can make them safe. Can be the flimsiest thing. My own was just rally, choosing to go for rally. Is how I landed here, my brother. Is how I landed here. I'm still doing the rally since that time. 25 years after, I'm still doing the rally. Funny thing. Some people is boy that brought them to church. Some is girl. Fine girl. Saw him in his car. And they couldn't go back after they met Christ. Are you here, somebody? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Will you be happy to be the one responsible for somebody's salvation? Won't it be beautiful to find out the last day that you prayed somebody to Christ and you see how well the person does? Maybe the person can even be a pastor bigger than me, winning multiple souls. Wouldn't that be nice? For that to be accrued to your name, for heaven to recognize that your name as somebody that brought somebody to Christ. Can we pray this morning? Before we pray for our people we know that are not saved, let our heads be bowed for 1 minute. If you are here under the sound of my voice and you are not born again, please, can I quickly lead you to Christ? If you are here under the sound of my voice and you are not saved, today is a good day. I prayed for you before today. Today is a good day to accept Jesus. It's free. It's free. All heads bowed. If you are here, you want to say, Pastor, I want you to lead me to Jesus today. Can you raise up your right hand? Wherever you are. If there's anybody in this service like that today, God bless you. You know you're not born again. You know if you die today, you will not make heaven. Please, can you raise up your right hand? Let me pray with you quickly. Quickly, anybody here like that today? Quickly, quickly. Is there anybody here like that today? Quickly, raise the hand. Raise the hand. Raise the hand. You want Jesus in your life? You want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior? Quickly, quickly, quickly. If your hand is raised up, please come. Please quickly come. I want to pray with you. Carry your Bible, your back. Just come, come, come. Come to church. Come, come to the front. Come. Church, let's clap for that. Let's join heaven and rejoice. Let's join heaven and rejoice. Whenever we are clapping like that, heaven too is clapping. Let's join heaven and rejoice. Face me, face me. Come. Face me. Come, come. Carry your Bible. Carry your bag. Just come. Just come. Just come. Come. For every one soul that comes to God, heaven rejoices. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you still want to come, please come quickly, quickly, quickly. Quickly, come, 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 come. Put your hand on your chest. Put your hand on your chest. Say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sin. Wash me with your blood. I receive the grace to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, for I am born again. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. Look at this lady. Please just follow her. Just follow this lady. She wants to talk to you. Come on, church. I thought you would keep clapping. Heaven is still rejoicing. Heaven is still rejoicing. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Let's take 1 minute to pray for those that we know that are not saved today. And you're going to pray as passionately as you pray when you're begging for things. This time, pray. Stand in the gap for somebody else. It might be your colleague, your family members, your friends, your old classmates. Someone that you need to stand in the gap for. Maso tabra tazita. Zumambrata setaklades. Rotasikata. It might be your neighbor. It might be your neighbor that you don't even talk to. It's okay. Heaven has a full account of everyone. It might be your neighbor. Mandelebo sakadaya. Rita bolata kikelia tosata. Shira palata. It might be your friend that you play with. Mandelebo sa. It might be the people you play table tennis with. People you play football with. But there might be some people you must carry in your heart as standing the gap before God for. That is God's burden on the earth. For all men to come to salvation. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Oh Lord, I lift up that family before you. Mahandere kasata, brata zata likaba brota zata, zuman brata zata. Lord, I pray that laborers be sent to them. Let laborers be sent to them. Mando bosaka dalikawa. Send someone that they will listen to. Send someone to present the gospel. Send someone to talk to them. Mahandere de bosaka dada. We ask for laborers. In the lake, Abba, begin to pray for the blind over their mind to be removed. Father, I break the blind of the devil, blocking their mind in the name of Jesus. Satan, I rebuke your hand over their life. I command your blind to be removed from their lives in the name of Jesus. The light of the glorious gospel will shine upon them. Mande de bosa. They will see the gospel. They will see salvation. Satan, I break your hold. I break your hold. I break your hold. I break your hold. I can debosa la mambaradasa. Libra dasa kadale kaba. Mande de ikababa. Begin to pray for the Holy Spirit to draw them to the Father. Lord, I pray Let your spirit draw them to you, O God. Let them become victors. Let their hearts be touched. Draw them. You said no one can come to you except you draw them. Father, I ask that you draw them to you. They will not perish. Come and pray. Yes, Lord. Come and pray.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.